We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the RotoWire Not Quite After Dark Champions League show. My name is Jack Burkhart, and you can find me on Twitter at Jack Burkhart. And I am joined by two just awful, loathsome Arsenal fans. We have a Kai Havertz apologist right here. As a Tottenham Hotspur fan, it pains me to say this, but Arsenal are doing quite well. Joined, as usual, by Ryan Belongi, and it's a great pleasure to have Paul Villazamar on the show today. You might know him as his username, who's above you in the rankings and all your contests. Pew, pew, pew. One of the Mount Rushmore players, in my opinion. I know you've been playing for a long time, Paul. So thank you so much for joining us. It's awesome to have you on. And I mean, how are you feeling about Arsenal heading into this? I mean, it's an exciting time to be an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, I'm feeling real good, as most Arsenal fans are. I mean, I think we got a lifeline this weekend from Liverpool, thankfully. But yeah, I mean, it's a scary game. It's always scary playing Bayern. I got some PTSD still, so. We'll see if we can excise the demons this tomorrow.
Yeah, I know it was a different time, but you know, North London has been fertile hunting ground for Bayern Munich in the past. Ryan, how are you feeling about your chances coming up?
Pretty good. You know, Bayern are kind of struggling, and Arsenal are playing really well. So it's tough not to feel pretty good. It's an exciting week. You know, at the national championship tonight, the Masters starts on Thursday, UFC 300 is on Saturday. And then just two unbelievable games tomorrow. It's a great week for sports, specifically soccer. And, you know, we're lucky to have Pew on the pod. I mean, arguably the greatest soccer DFS player ever. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I kind of wanted to pepper Pew a little bit with some questions just to open up. We do this when we have guests on. But, Paul, we were kind of chatting backstage before we started, a little bit of a whining sesh about the current state of the sock lobby. I mean, I think you've been, I remember Jordan Cooper's podcast, like you were playing before Saramek played. I remember hearing that and like, you know, 11 man lineups. I picked this stuff up in 2011, so I have no idea. So what's your like take on the current state of things? I mean, I assume you've seen this game evolve a lot over the years and, you know, what's good, what's bad. It just seems like stuff's not filling and there's less interest overall, which is sad because I think it's a fun game.
Yeah. I've basically been like from the start. Like first day they had DFS soccer, I was playing, jumping in. Basically, I was gambling with like all the money I had at that point. Yeah, I'm gonna be honest that the lobby is a little disappointing now lately. I kind of haven't been playing as much. I've kind of been a little bit busier with some other stuff. But I mean, DK's kind of dropped the ball. I didn't want to mention FanDuel because they're a mess. But yeah, it's kind of disappointing. I mean, I don't know. It's a combo of a few things that maybe just it's just kind of like goes the way of people aren't into playing as much. People playing other sports. People just sports betting instead. But a lot of the action has gone down. The high stakes action has gone down. People have gotten better, which I guess is good. Not great for me, but a lot of people have gotten a lot better. I mean, there's good content out there. You guys put out like really good content that I think, unfortunately, has raised the bar that the lobby has gotten better. And so I think you guys deserve credit for that. And other people as well, but you guys put out real good content. So yeah, I think it's a combination of a few things. And I don't think DraftKings is necessarily doing us any favors because they're always late. I mean, we're not really filling contests as much, but I don't know, you're not promoting, you're not getting contests out there. So, I mean, it's a little tricky. So I'm disappointed, I'd say right now.
Pew, are you at all bullish on the future? Like, can you see us still doing this maybe 3, 4, 5 years from now, at, you know, on DraftKings or wherever? And I don't know, is there still going to be money to be made at that point?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I think that I would say like I've been constantly bearish probably for a lot of years, and then I've been kind of like nicely surprised, like oh, it's going away, but it still stays, or there's new. The game changes a little bit, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, DraftKings obviously has your attention towards sports betting. I think a lot of people probably play solar now too. Maybe it's just, you know, I think a lot of the lobby or people that played soccer have gone to that. I mean, there's just general used to get, I think DFS in general is probably, you guys would know this better, but like has kind of gone down. Like you used to get a lot of people that would play all the sports, and a lot of the best action was people kind of from other sports and just gambling on soccer that just liked it. Or play Champions League. And Champions League was like the best action, has been the best action, and probably when the lobby is the best, but that's been down as well too. And that was like the saving grace, like EPL would be down, but like the big Champions League slate, you still got a lot of action, like I could get a lot of money in. And even that now is a little bit down. So yeah, it's not looking great. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going to turn that around.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it just doesn't seem like it seems like it's all the same people playing each other. Like the lobby doesn't look too terribly different on a big Champions League slate versus like Interleague when it's like Torino versus Empoli and then some two random teams from Spain that I don't know anything about. So when it's that state, it's probably tough to find good games. Pew, are you mostly playing cash these days? Or I mean, like where can you even find the action? I mean, I doubt people take your head-to-heads. I mean, like yeah. where do you find yourself these days?
Originally I was just like mainly cash almost completely, and that was my focus because when I first started playing, and then kind of cash got a little tougher, and I kind of put some more time and effort into tournaments, and tournaments was like a good edge, but now a lot of people got a lot better at tournaments, you know, like tournaments are not as soft as they used to be. People have really kind of upped their game. I probably haven't played that well in tournaments. I've kind of gravitated back to cash as, I don't know, just because maybe I haven't been doing as well or just for whatever reason. But yeah, I think now I'm back to mainly being cash. And for a while there, I was put more focus on tournaments. I guess maybe the tournaments are not as big. A lot of the high stake tournaments don't run as much. And they're just tougher, I guess. But yeah, the lobby cash games, I don't really get much heads up action like I used to. And so it's kind of, it's more effort too to do well as people have gotten better and the lobby's gotten a little tougher. So I kind of have pulled back. I haven't been playing as much as I usually do. I missed the last couple of Champions League slates, which is something I never did because I was traveling, but. Yeah, it's a little depressing.
I don't love to hear that. You're kind of depressing me over here, but I don't know if this is so much of a question, more as you know, I think you might be responsible for at least what I consider like the best DFS soccer slate of all time. You know, it was probably like three or four years ago when you played Ilicic over Messi on a Champions League site. You must remember this. I mean, you won every single tournament. Ilicic was less than 10% owned. I want to say like 7% or something. It was a slate where you just couldn't fade Messi. You might have been 90% owned or something. And you did. And I was with my friends and we were just like dumbfounded basically. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because I still think about that slate.
The funny thing is, I mean, that Ilicic at Atlanta was putting up like Messi-esque numbers, and he was not priced like Messi, and everybody had him, and I was just like, yeah, it's worth a shot. I remember that slate. I do, actually. I think that was like, that was the slate where everybody in Atlanta got COVID.
Yeah.
Like, the whole stadium basically got COVID. That was like right at the time. Yeah, I remember that.
What a sick play. Oh, sorry, Ryan, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I guess just to follow up on that, like, I learned a lot when I first started playing from looking at Pugh's lineups, like, probably more so than anybody. And I want to say, like, I don't know if you were doing this on purpose, but in tournaments, it seemed like you were one of the first people to really start implementing game theory. I don't know. I would see, you know, some people would just always try to play the best chalk and they're good at playing the best chalk. But I noticed you were more willing to get different than other people, especially in big spots. And yeah, I don't know if that was intentional or maybe you just know ball better than everybody else. And those are just the best plays and people don't know it.
Thanks. That's a really good compliment. But yeah, I think I've always kind of had a more of a game theory centric kind of approach. I think a lot of the guys that kind of just try to play the best plays too probably rely more heavily on modeling kind of, and I don't really as much. I'm more kind of just like, I like to watch soccer. I feel like I know the game fairly well. And I think that a lot of times the biggest edges, especially if you're not just like max entering, is just getting different. A lot of times there's a really big advantages. And if you can kind of just spot the plays that are pretty good and then are just undervalued, there's just like a big edge there, which is, you know, that used to be a huge edge. And now people have kind of caught up to that a lot more. It used to be, I would just go into slates and like completely fade the top strikers, like all the time. I think half my career was made off of fading overpriced stationary strikers, to be honest, at the beginning. Everybody loved to play them, and I would just fade them every time. And it could be very painful. And like, I think that's part of the experience, is just like, I've taken a lot of like sick beats. But you kind of just get used to it. And then you just kind of say, like, yeah, I think it's the best play, so I'm just going to do it. Yeah. And you just have to.
I think you're right, though. Like, I'm not sure you can do that consistently without first taking like a ton of beats and like, or, you know, like getting comfortable with that.
Yeah, I think it's just like you kind of just have to set your mind that like throw the results away and just kind of just focus on the process of it and just kind of laugh at the pain a little bit, I guess. And just
Yeah,
you just kind of have to enjoy it and just be like, yeah, that's gross. I lost a bunch of money. But, you know, it is what it is.
A sick pleasure in having a game theory edge. That's awesome to hear. Thanks for sharing, Paul. I think that's awesome. But let's consider diving into these games. I mean, these matches are sick. I think this is an awesome quarterfinal for the Champions League. Sometimes like some kind of bad teams sneak in, but I think all the teams are great. Wednesday slate will be good too. But I mean, Tuesdays, this is going to be one of the best nights in a while. We have Arsenal at home to Bayern Munich. Bookies like Arsenal about 55% to win. Neither of the games have a high total. And Manchester City are visiting Real Madrid. So, I mean, we have Arsenal fans here. So let's talk about this Arsenal-Bayern Munich match first. Arsenal were in like a really nasty tie with Porto, who just played the most negative game possible. And I think that kind of like tested Arsenal's like maturity and maybe just like, you know, soft skills. You know, we know they're a really good team, but this is going to be a much different tie. And I think they're suffering with some injuries, like Saka's struggling a little bit with fitness. Like Arsenal are kind of going full blast on both fronts, where Bayern have just lost the league. So I don't know. I was wondering, Paul, like, how do you think this tie sets up for Arsenal? It seems pretty good. I mean, Bayern Munich have a poor defense and Arsenal are just playing excellent defensively. They get to open at home. Are they going to approach it cautiously? I mean, there's no away goals, so they probably want to try to go in with at least, you know, a two goal advantage. They don't want to have to try to win in Germany. I don't know. How do you think this sets up? What are you seeing?
I think, Bayern is a threat. I think that they've run pretty bad. Like their numbers are not that as bad as the table looks. I think Leverkusen has run amazing. Clearly, this is probably not the best Bayern we've seen in a while. But I do think that they're still a dangerous team. I think there's maybe a little toxicity in the squad right now. I think Tuchel is not maybe the best at managing the dressing room. And I think maybe that's showing up a little. But if I'm Arsenal, I don't really feel too comfortable going to Bayern without having, like I'd like to put up two goals, put up a two-goal lead. I'd like to go at them. I think that they're a little wounded. You know, they're a wounded duck right now. I think Arsenal is the better team. And I think that Bayern's midfield and their defense is open. And they'll give chances, but they will finish chances. But I think if you're Arsenal, you know, I think our defense can shut anybody down. And I think they can shut out Bayern. But they're going to attack. They should attack. I think they'll attack. And I think they should. I think that they don't want to go. Even if you go with a one goal lead, I'd still be scared in Bayern. I mean, I think they could do it and they could pull it off and they could go there and defend. But I think it's a time they should go for it, I think.
What do you think, Ryan?
No, I mean, I agree with pretty much everything you said. Like, you know, Arsenal have the better team, better offense, better defense, and Bayern have been struggling. But, you know, the experience factor is sort of on the Munich side, obviously. And Arsenal, if they've had a weakness, it's sort of been that they lose confidence at times. They've been maybe weaker mentally at times. And just because of they've had a traumatic recent history against Munich, too. So, I mean, yeah, on paper, Arsenal are the better team everywhere. But yeah, you'd like to get two goals here or two goal lead before heading back to Germany. I would think that Arteta feels the same way. And yeah, Arsenal should be able to get at this midfield and defense and create a bunch of chances. But like Paul said, I think Munich finishes their chances. So, you know, Kane coming back to Arsenal, the narrative as well. Maybe you have some thoughts on that. I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic. This is a great Arsenal side. I mean, if they come out and play their best, they should do well.
I'm wearing the kit that Harry Kane was wearing when he scored an all-time goal at the Emirates in the North London Derby. Just a wild shot from a horrific angle outside the box. But I think that was like a 2-2, just one of those classic Tottenham blowing it in those spots. Certainly a revenge game. I mean, Harry Kane's familiar with scoring at the Emirates. You know, I think he'd like to, but no, that doesn't matter so much. You got Eric Dier as well. I mean, he's going to want to have a big game against the Arsenal if he starts that center back.
Do you guys know how he started? Like, how is Eric Dier starting over the South Korean and the French guy? I forgot the name. Upamecano. Like,
it's crazy, right? Yeah, it's crazy. They paid a ton of money for Upamecano. He was thought of as, like, you know, one of the top center back prospects, but made some high profile mistakes. I remember I played him on that slate a couple slates ago where he had the red card. Yeah, it's crazy. I never thought Munich would even sign Dier, let alone that he would be starting.
Uh-huh. He wasn't going to sniff the field at all. And I was surprised. Like, I haven't watched a ton of Bayern's games this year, and I was looking at the logs, and he's actually seems like he's the preferred center back, and that was really surprising. And also, I think it's terrible to play Kimmich at right back, to be honest. I think that midfield is – they don't have anybody really control the game, control the tempo. And I get it that I think Tuchel really likes a holding midfielder, and they don't really have one. And so I think he kind of took the chance to move Kimmich over to the right, but I think it's clearly a mistake.
I was going to ask, like, I have no idea why Tuchel hates Joshua Kimmich. Like, it's clear that there's like some like not getting along between the player and the manager. Cause I don't know much, but I think Kimmich is a terrific player. He can do a lot of things, and you're playing him as a fullback. It seems like a waste. And I feel like if you're not playing your best players in their best positions because of your tactics, then maybe you should adjust your tactics. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I agree. I think I think he's a good manager, but I think it seems like his teams have kind of rebelled a few times. I don't think he is kind of like the arm over the shoulder, get his message across guy. I think that he's got his ideas, and if And if you don't get on board, then, you know, he's got that German, you know, style of being very forward. And I don't think it's working. And I think, you know, on paper, I will say that I've always been surprised that Bayern has been as good as they have without kind of a real holding midfielder and the style that they have where they just kind of all out attack. And Kimmich is a great midfielder, but he's not like an out-and-out defensive midfielder. And neither is Goretzka. Goretzka kind of likes to get forward at times. Like, on paper, I've kind of been bearish on that midfield, but they've been good. And I mean, for years, they've been really good, and they're not anymore, right? And that midfield is not working. And I think Kimmich has earned it that he's great, you know, great player. And I think they're clearly a lot worse off. And I think, especially in these kind of ties, like in a big Champions League game, like, you're going to win and lose games with your midfield. Your midfield has to be able to control tempo, and your midfield has to be able to kind of control the game. And the teams that lose that control are going to have higher variance, and they're going to just not do as well. And you have on this slate three teams that have like very talented midfield that can tactically defend and attack. And I don't really think that you see that with Bayern. And I think that's why you see, and also the defense is not so good to make up for that. And I think that's why you see them struggling, even though I think, you know, their points are not as bad as a team that they are. Like I think based on XG and everything, they're still like should be in first. But there's clearly some problems there, and there's not the continuity that they've had.
Man, those are such good points. I'd never thought of that before about Bayern not having a typical center defensive mid and that they've been able to do so well without one. That's very interesting.
And I say that as someone that is probably the team that's lost me the most money is probably Bayern.
I think so too. I think for me too.
Mm-hmm. They've crushed me.
Lewandowski for a lot of times, I traded him a lot, and a lot of the Bayern teams, I feel like I've gotten your slates wrong a ton. And so hopefully I won't get it wrong this time, and hopefully Arsenal smacks him.
Well, if there's a team that I am down bad in perpetuity to, it's Manchester City in the other matchup. I always joke with Ryan, Riyad Mahrez is in my shithead Hall of Fame. I've always gotten that guy wrong, and it hasn't gotten better with Erling Haaland and company. You know, Bernardo Silva dropping braces on me randomly. Tough team DFS wise, but looking at the Real Madrid Manchester City matchup, it's even on paper, and it seems like if these two teams just got to play one game, it could be incredibly exciting. But I have this Arsenal-Manchester City match burnt into my brain. It was one of the worst matchups of the season because both managers approached it so cautiously. And my feeling of this game is that Pep Guardiola, he's away, just going to want to get out with like a 0-0 or a 1-1 away to the Bernabeu and then take care of business at home. Normally, we want to play Manchester City players in fantasy, but I think they're going to try to control the game, Paul. So like, how do you perceive Manchester City's approach? I think they're going to try to control, play slow, hold the ball. They progress the ball fairly slow compared to other teams because they can. But Real Madrid have some deadly players on the counter. Kyle Walker is out. Is that kind of going to be the key to the match that might lead to a key breakthrough for Vinny Jr.? I don't know. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, I think you summed it up pretty well. I think that Pat, specifically against Real Madrid, has learned his lessons, right? Like I think Pep is the best manager in the world. But I think it's clear that he was a little naive and pushed things at times a little much when he maybe didn't have to. And they were the better team. And it seems like they play Real Madrid every year in the Champions League. And there was just some times where they were just clearly the better team over a couple legs and they lost. And the reason that they lost was that they were just a little naive, pushing and leaving some counterattacks, and they got punished. And I think that those City sides were just dominant. And they were just like the best team in the world every year on paper. But, you know, in these Champions League games, you need to have control and you need to control the tempo. And I think that Pep has clearly changed. Now he plays like four center backs. And I do think that this is like the game for Kyle Walker. So him not being there is going to affect things. And I think that Real Madrid is a very good team. They're very they're very tactically smart and they're very versatile. They can hit you. Everyone will defend. Everyone will attack. And I think that the way that this game is most likely to go is that Pep will be a little cautious and he will go for control and he will play his possession-based lineup. Like he has these possession-based lineups where he'll play Grealish, he'll play Silva, he'll play the center backs, and then probably Foden. No true like true winger, and he'll just try to control the game. And I think that he'll try to cover up for Walker being missing by having control. And I think he'll try to avoid a ton of counters, and he'll be smarter than he has been like 3-4 years ago. In the last few years, I think he's more pragmatic. And I think that this game will play out fairly like the one did last year at Madrid. I think that both teams are going to kind of do that. And I think if for floor wise, I think it's for sure City. They're going to have more of the ball. And I think that Real Madrid is not going to care about defending most of the time. And I think they're going to draw City out and try to attack them on the counter. And they're going to play four midfield with a diamond midfield with Bellingham as like a false nine. And I think that suits them really well. And I think, really there's not a lot of good floor players here other than like De Bruyne, who I think is just still going to be, the guy that's going to rack up all the 4 points. But other than that, I mean, a lot of these players could put up 3 points or they could put up 30. A lot of the strikers could have a big game, maybe. I think that's what's so tricky about this slate is there's so many good players and there's good teams that, you could see a brace come from a lot of guys. So for tournaments, I think it's great. It's fun. For cash games, I think it's just horrendous and miserable because it feels like there's so many trap plays other than like two guys maybe.
Yeah, cash seems like a headache. Ryan, what do you think about this game and what do you think about the DFS implications of it?
Man, I mean, that was a great breakdown. I don't really have much to add. That's why it's nice to have Paul on the show. But I mean, if I was Vinicius Jr., like the one guy I wouldn't want to go up against is Kyle Walker because really, like, you just can't beat him for pace. So that's something. These teams played last year and the first leg was 1-1. Vinny scored in the 37th minute. KDB scored in the 64th. Madrid had 13 shots and Man City had 10. But yeah, I really don't have much else to add. I agree with Paul. I think the floor is going to be there for City, for KDB. But I do worry about no Kyle Walker. It's definitely a spot where there's just so much talent on Madrid that they should create a couple good chances. So yeah, you could see goals coming from anywhere, but I don't think there's going to be too much floor. But they did knock Toni Kroos' price all the way down to 5,500, which at least for cash, I think is a decision.
Yeah, I think I've been pretty quick to fade Kroos over the last few years. If it fits, I don't think he's ever been a must. And I heard a couple times for that. I think at 5,500 on this slate, that he's definitely in the range of like I probably want to play him in cash. It's
always going to be like that. It is. I was going to ask you if, like, a decision – I know we're not really into the slate yet, but if, is Declan Rice at 6,300 or Kroos at 55? Yeah, I don't know. We've seen Declan smash, and we've seen him have these games where he scores, like, 5-6 points and takes, like, 3 or 4 corners and not much else. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's not normally, like – just from kind of like historically you'd be like, oh, it's always Kroos, but I think it's probably pretty close. I think that Rice might be more likely to get a goal or an assist, especially if he's playing kind of like an 8, not as a 6. And I think that game will probably have more goals. I think Arsenal could put up four or five goals. It wouldn't surprise me. So I don't know about Kroos. I think Kroos is going to play deep. And I don't know how many crossing and opportunities you're going to get. But for 5,500 at home, I mean, it's difficult. There's not a lot of value. And I think, it's hard to fade that. But it feels like he's going to put up 6. I mean, it feels like almost everybody's going to put up 6 other than like two Crew guys. It's tricky.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm always quick to fade Crews, especially, you know, he's priced around 7K most of the time or even above. But I looked at the matchup last year. It was the first leg was also in Madrid. And I don't want to draw too much from it, but Madrid had 8 corners. And, you know, I don't know if they have 8 corners in this game. You might want Crews for 5,500. You know, maybe he'll rip a long shot or two.
Yeah,
and I think you could see it. And I mean, you could see that Madrid. This Madrid is better than they've been. Like, this is the best Madrid that I think we've seen in about 3-4 years. Like, they had a couple sides that just did phenomenal in the Champions League, but I didn't think they were amazing sides. I mean, they played out of their skin and they were confident and they did well and like they deserve respect. But I think this side is good. This side's better. I think with Bellingham and everybody. I mean, I would say that I think that their center backs are a real suspect. If they were going to play Nacho, but if they play Tchouaméni there, that's good. I mean, Haaland, I don't think he's going to have an easy day. But I also think that, you know, when do you get Haaland at AK?
No, I saw that too. Yeah, I agree, though. This Madrid side does seem better. I was surprised at how well Madrid had done in some of the previous seasons. It seemed as like it was kind of just Benzema being so like creating or converting the few chances. Like, he was just so good at converting whatever chances they got in the most important times. Like, they ran so well, but it was Benzema. Just, he was incredible for a while there.
Yeah, I mean, they overperformed their XG, it seemed like, every game, like, nonstop. And I was just like, oh, they can't keep doing that. They just kept doing it. And, I mean, I think, you know, they're just confident. They just always feel like they're going to win the Champions League. And I feel like, you know, it kind of shows up in the performances and they finish their chances. And, I mean, they got some kind of voodoo in the Champions League. And, I mean, they do it. I mean, I hate it. I hate Madrid, but they do it.
Yeah, they get it done every time. I envy this Madrid midfield so much. It seems like they're just oozing with talent just in all the spots. They have a great workman-like midfield. I think they can handle City a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see how that match will go. You've been talking about some decisions at midfield overall. Maybe we can go to the forward position and start and just kind of talk, you know, who we're playing at the top and then move our way down to midfield. But I don't know. It doesn't feel like the most strategically rich slate to me. The way that these first legs go, I mean, the Arsenal-Bayern match could be high scoring, but it also could be pretty cagey. And with no away goals, these slates, like the cash lines, have been extremely low. So, Paul, when you said everyone has a 6-point floor, it really feels that way, and it feels like littered with trap plays. I'm just looking at the forward position right now, and you got Bukayo Saka at 9,600. I mean, that seems pretty appealing. Maybe he comes off a little bit early. I think people are going to gravitate towards that name, but I think you said it. I mean, we have Haaland at 8K. Usually, I mean, he hasn't been priced up. For some reason, the Manchester City guys just don't get priced up by the DK pricing algorithm. It feels forced, but, you know, he doesn't have minus goal scoring odds, but at 8K, he's getting service with Kevin De Bruyne. Feels like a pretty good option. I mean, would you rather play him or Vinny Jr.? I don't know. How do you see the forward position?
I mean, I think, yeah, De Bruyne at 8K, I think in cash and in tournaments, I mean, obviously, he's viable. It's just, I think Saka is like the clear best play at forward. I think, like, from, for sure, from a cash perspective, I think for tournaments, you know, you could definitely pay him because he's probably going to have higher ownership. I think assuming that he's healthy, which I think he probably is healthy enough, he looked fine, you know, I mean, he is like just like a freak athletically that I can't understand how he plays like every 2 days and just looks amazing. But other than that, it's just like, I mean, there's a lot of good forwards that could go off, but I mean, I don't know, to you for cash, I guess, from a cash centric position, I don't, the second forward spot is tough, I guess. It's kind of just like, how do you think the games are going to go? Because a lot of these guys can dud or they can go off. And so I guess you kind of just have to try to pick, which is tough in cash because you don't really want to be in that position. You have to try to get the game right versus just like have a guy that has a foot. I mean, the other best floor for price-wise is, what's his name? The other guy from Bayern, Musiala, has a good floor. I mean, he's been a beast lately. He's been putting up shots like crazy. good player. Offensively, has been a lot better, but he's playing against Arsenal. I mean, how much? Yeah. Yep. In the league, you know, he's been doing really well. And Bayern could have put up points. I mean, I'm inclined to just kind of say, you know what? It doesn't matter what the game is. If you have Haaland and you have De Bruyne and you have Haaland at AK, I mean, he's the most likely to score. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to be attacking the most. I mean, his floor is not amazing these days, but I don't know. It feels like it's never going to be that bad.
I feel like you want to err towards the price adjusted splash play when, you know, if only one guy goes off, you're not going to find guys with elite roles on this two game slate that are going to make up for someone who has Haaland's range of outcomes. And nor at 8K will he kill you if he only gets 6 points. I don't think that's going to be a problem necessarily. But I mean, Ryan, from just an optimal point of view, I mean, what do you think about the forward position?
Yeah, I think Saka for sure, from an optimal point of view, just because the rest of the position isn't great. And Saka, you know, taking corners, taking penalties, just everything. I think he is healthy. I think he probably plays 90 or close to it most of the time. I think it's a pretty tough matchup against Alphonso Davies, who, you know, can at least match some of his physical qualities and is a pretty decent defender. But I still think you're going to play Saka. There's just not really alternatives. Haaland at 8K, yeah, you guys made all correct points. I know I'm normally fade, and there's a good chance I'll fade here. I don't know, like I like Vinny Jr., even though he's 8,900. I think he has a better floor. I think it's a good spot without Kyle Walker. I think Rodrigo's cheap. Musiala is definitely my favorite option from Bayern. He's a great player with a big future, and we've been trying to play him all season, and he really hasn't done it in the Champions League. I mean, he was close to having massive games, but just didn't get the goals. But he's always in position. He's such a good dribbler. I like playing Musiala. And then I think for tournaments, Kai Havertz, 6,900. Yeah, I'm a fan of Kai. He's in great form. I think that's a cheap price. I think if, you know, he's going to play center forward, basically, whether Jesus starts or not, and he plays 90 minutes most of the time. I don't know. I like Kai. I he's got a lot of hate this season, but I think he's starting to come good. I know people still don't like to play him. He really doesn't have a floor, but, you know, Arsenal need goals in the spot. They need goals in the spot. So, yeah, I like Havertz for 6,900, but I think after Saka, it's kind of just you do whatever you want. Like, Haaland's a good play. The Madrid guys are good plays. You can go to Arsenal. You can go to Munich. I think it's just Saka and then figure it out.
Yeah, I think for sure, you know, Vinny Jr. He's got a good floor. He's got a good ceiling. I hate playing guys against City, obviously. Might be one of the worst teams to play against. But yeah, without Kyle Walker, it's price wise, it's like it's just difficult paying up for guys against City. I just don't want to do it. But it's just it's a tough slate. I do think that I would say if I was gonna play, I'd rather pay up for Vinny than go down to Rodrigo. I think Rodrigo less likely to have like a big outcome, more likely to get subbed. I think Vinny's gonna probably go 90. They may, like, if they get a goal up, he may take off Rodrigo and bring on another kind of defensive midfielder. I think, you know, I didn't mention Kai Havertz, but I think it's a good spot for Kai Havertz. I think he's playing great. I think false nine is his best position by far. I think that's the position he's meant for. And he's getting comfortable there. I mean, this Bayern team could be open. And 6,900 is a good price on a slate. With not a lot of good spots, and I think, you know, like, I'd be, especially because I think this is a spot where you can kind of like play almost anybody at second forward if the build is right. But the problem is like, what do you even do with that salary? You know, like where else? Foden's not a bad spot. Foden's not a bad spot either. He's just very expensive though. without much really any set pieces. But like Foden's been on fire. And they're gonna have most of the ball. I think most of the time they're still gonna have most of the chances in that game. I mean, Gabriel Jesus, if you told me he was going to go 90 playing on the wing, I'd be interested, but I don't think he goes 90. I don't think he goes past 70, 75. It's difficult.
Yeah, I think you said it earlier. There's a lot of guys who could smash, and it's just tough to dial in on precisely who that guy is. I like Vinny Jr. He's not having to go against Kyle Walker. I'm just trying to find a place on a two-gamer where I might be able to find an ownership edge. And I thought maybe that would be Rodrigo, but he's been expensive in interleague and stuff. And I don't know, he's been really good. I think Vinny's just a little bit tougher to pay for. So if it's just a little bit more difficult to make the construction work, no priorities at defender, so you just need like Guerrero or Davies or whatever to not go off. I think that play might not get as high utilization, but it's against City. Oh, it just feels gross. Maybe you should just, like Ryan said, take the Arsenal forwards. They're in the best spot, and they have to go full attack. And ownership should be spread out. I don't know.
Paul made a good point that Vinny Jr. is 9K, and you really don't like playing somebody for 9K against City. Like, you know, is the floor going to be there even if he scores a goal? But he does have multiple goal upside, and you know, if there's just not a lot of floors in general, you know, it still might be okay. I don't know, like, still should do okay in the spot. I know it's City, but Madrid have to know that. I mean, they lost 4-0 when they went to City in the second leg last season. They know they need goals here, you know, like, I don't know. And I see Sané there at 6K. I know he's questionable, but it seems like he's going to start. I don't know, at least 6K is, I guess, interesting for Sané. I don't know.
You know, and also, we haven't even said Harry Kane. I mean, Harry Kane has got 32 goals this season, yeah? And, like, Jack, I'm surprised you haven't shouted out your boy. But, I think now, maybe, hearing us talk, that the tournament play might be Harry Kane because nobody's going to play him. And, I mean, he's Harry Kane. You can always show up with a brace, you know?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
You got a lot of Spurs fan touts. Keep us a few secrets to keep, you know, a few basis points less of ownership in the $20 GPP. I do like Kane here. He can just score against anyone. I think the Arsenal defense is pretty elite, but I mean, I don't know. If Arsenal are really pushing hard, it might open up some opportunities, and he's just an outstanding finisher. So, yeah, I don't know. You can go anywhere. It's tough. Good luck picking the guy who goes off, and I think you're going to rake it in if you have it, because I just don't think multiple guys are going to go off on this slate.
Yeah, I think for especially just for a two-gamer, I think that this is probably a really good term to say, because ownership should be pretty spread out, because there's just like, there's only like De Bruyne and Saka who are kind of like, yeah, these guys have the good ceiling and the good floor. And you can kind of basically go a bunch of different ways. So I think for making tournaments, I like this thing a lot. And I mean, it's good. There's a big, you know, big first play, a couple big prize pools. So it's good, but it's just kind of how you think these games are going to go. I think another tricky part is defense is just horrendous.
Defense is horrendous. Well, it's awful. We'll get into it after we break down midfield. But, we have KDB at 9,400. He's probably going to be a shoe-in, just one of the few players with an elite role. And, you know, he's on, I think, you know, Manchester City are slightly favored. We really don't overthink that option. I mean, what else are you going to spend your money on? But some names that seem appealing, you know, maybe for GPP's perspective, Jude Bellingham. I always want to play Jude Bellingham. He's just such a terrific player. He has a floor somehow. He gets it done in so many different ways. I think that makes him a really viable, you know, 20 point play if he gets one goal. And I sort of like to look for that benchmark. From cash, the three names I'm kind of looking at, you have Kimmich at 7K, who's been crossing a lot as a fullback, but it's a horrible matchup at the Emirates. I don't know. Will it matter if he's right back? Maybe Arsenal are just happy to let crosses in. Maybe that's just they're not too threatened by that. You got Declan Rice at 6,300. Ryan, you said that he's more likely to score a goal. I kind of like him a little bit more than Toni Kroos at 5,500, but it's tough to argue with the Toni Kroos price. So, Ryan, if you're parsing this mid-range group of guys, I don't know. What do you think about this group?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, if you look at Kimmich, if you look at Kimmich's game one, he's been crushing from a fantasy perspective. It's not a great spot though here against Arsenal, and he's like more expensive. So I found myself favoring Rice and Kroos, I guess, as much so just because of price. I don't know though. This is I asked Paul earlier just because I wasn't sure. These are the slates where like you kind of gotta know how the games are gonna go to decide which one of these guys is the best play. I mean, I do like Declan when Jorginho starts and he plays in the eight role. And as Paul said, probably has a better chance at a goal or an assist. And I agree with that. And I just love Declan as a player. So I'm just kind of always fine playing him here. And then Kroos, yeah, I'm interested because the price went down. There is a chance for City to have Madrid to have seven or eight corners, and you know, Kroos likes to shoot from distance. I feel like in certain scenarios, maybe he gets to 10 floor points. Most scenarios, he probably doesn't, but it's at least like in the range of outcomes. I don't know, midfield's tough.
Yeah, what do you think, Paul?
Well, I think there's some guys that. You kind of have to look for some, not the normal floors. I mean, two games late, you don't have as many options. I think you kind of have to. There's not a ton of crossing. Like, none of these teams cross a ton outside of a few guys that basically just kind of do all the crossing. Like Kimmich, Saka, and KDB are basically the guys that are going to cross for the most part. Grealish, you know, I mean, Grealish. His floor, he's always got a good floor because he gets fouled, creates chances. His ceiling hasn't been amazing. I'm afraid of him being a sub risk if he starts. I think he's probably likely to start with the way that Pep probably wants to play. He's appealing. To be honest, I mean, Rodri's been on fire, and he basically puts up numbers of like a striker. Like he's scoring goals, he's getting forward. I don't know if this is a game that. This is the game to maybe play him. Maybe if this was at home, I think he's probably going to be a little bit more cautious, especially with Walker out. But I've actually played him a lot on the single game slates, and he's actually like done really well. Kroos, I think his floor is good, and he could show up with an assist. Declan, good. I really like. For GPPs is Odegaard. I think you could probably play him in cash too if it fits. I think he's usually got a good floor. He's he's a big game player. The guy comes up big in spots, especially when Arsenal's at home. He shoots a lot. He gets goals, gets assists. You know, I'm a little, I don't know that Arsenal is going to be as gung-ho. I don't think Bayern is going to let them park. You know, Arsenal will basically suffocate a lot of teams and just park there, and just like City does. And I don't know if that's going to be the type of game that, I don't know that Bayern will let them do that. And I don't know that you want to be throwing everybody ahead either. And so maybe for Declan, that might be a little more cautious because they have to worry about Bayern's attack. It's hard to say. It might be a little cagey. And Arsenal as well don't need to throw a ton of guys forward to get goals because they're so good on the counter.
And I think that,
like, it's difficult. If we saw like a Martinelli, and if I thought Martinelli was good for 70, 80 minutes, he'd be a good play. You could probably play across all formats. You might be able to play on the second forward, although I'd be a little bit worried about his minutes. And his floor has gotten a little worse, but yeah, he's a good player. So midfield is tricky, and I don't know that anybody else. I don't know that I'd want to play another midfielder from Madrid. I don't know that Valverde is in this season, because he's kind of changed his role compared to last season. I don't know if I would play him, and I don't want to play Goretzka or Lehmann. So I think midfield, it's tough. A lot of these positions are tough.
No, really good point about Grealish. I didn't notice that he was all the way down to 5,900. That's pretty good. And on a slate where maybe the floors are going to be down, you can definitely see Grealish getting to 10. He fits the way that City wants to play in this spot, as sort of like an outlet that can all just sticks to his foot and he'll draw fouls and get you out of trouble. So I do like Grealish. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Jack, after that? I know just Valverde down to 4,400. I know I try to force Valverde, but his role has clearly changed this year. I don't think you're hoping for some fortunate assist or maybe like some 35-yard rocket goal. But, I don't see much of a floor there.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather play Cruz, but if you just needed the 1,000 salary, I'd be fine with it. I saw he came off of a 3-assist game earlier in March, which was exciting to see. It just won't be that kind of matchup against Manchester City. But if you need to play someone cheap, I mean, I think it's viable that something weird could happen. I know he's a very athletic player, and maybe that's what they need, you know, a very quick counter, and maybe he's involved in that. I don't know. I wouldn't base my strategy around him. I think the plays above are superior, and you probably don't want to be spending down necessarily at the midfield position. I mean, all the options with good ceilings are priced above, so just doesn't seem like the spot. It seems like the strongest position, midfield only eligible players. So, especially because you can play some interesting forwards there, it's a lot of opportunity cost. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say didn't mention Bernardo Silva, but I think Bernardo Silva is viable, especially in this lineup. In this lineup, where they kind of play the control lineup, sometimes Foden comes inside and Silva goes outside, and his floor is a lot better. He crosses a little bit more. When Haaland's there, he crosses more. When they had Alvarez, he didn't. So I think he might be a little pricey, but I mean, he's got goals in him. He's got assists in him. His floor, when he's playing, when he kind of drifts wide, his floor is a lot better. So I think he's viable as well, I would say.
You're like making me sweat over here. If this is one of those Bernardo Silva troll games, like I don't know if I'm going to be able to take it if I make a bunch of lineups and don't have Bernardo. And yeah, you're exactly right. He's got goals and assists and great player. Probably plays 90.
If this is a Bernardo Silva slate.
I was going to say, I think he's such a hard player. I think Valverde as well is because they play different roles all the time, right? Like they could play like kind of wingers or center forward almost, like a false nine. They can come in. And so those guys, if they're in the right role, have goals in them, have crosses, have assists. But then sometimes too, they play deep. Like Silva plays like a deep eight, right? And so it's kind of weird because I think the edge with Bernardo Silva is like knowing when he's going to be in the right kind of role. When Pep plays him in that role where he's going to be a little bit of a winger or a little bit more attacking versus, I think here It depends. It depends on how they line up, that he might be a little deeper. But him and Foden definitely switch sometimes. I mean, this might not be the game that they do it when they're on the road, but I think that's like an interesting thing to kind of keep a look at, that Pep can be a little tricky on that.
All right. Well, good stuff. Let's pivot over to defender, where I don't think there's much to talk about. We have Rafael Guerrero at 4,800, but he's on the road at Arsenal. He takes some set pieces. He always gets subbed. I don't want to play him necessarily. Carvajal at 4,500, I'll probably pass there. Rico Lewis, I mean, he's just absolutely slaughtered me the two random times he's had super attacking roles. But at 4,400 and more of a, you know, control lineup, as Paul said, it doesn't feel like the greatest play. I don't know, maybe somehow luck boxes into an elite role, but not with this lineup. I don't know. The first name that appeals to me, like, don't make fun of me, is Gabriel, center back for Arsenal. Like, I think Arsenal are really sharp with their set piece coaching, and he's just a defender who might be able to randomly get his head on a ball a couple times and maybe sneak a floor that way. You are paying 4K for him, but I mean, you can just keep on scrolling down. We have a Jakub Kiwior, the throw and assist master. Maybe you can just play some City center backs because they've randomly found some floors. That's probably going to be the popular place to look. Paul, we're dumpster diving at defender. Who sticks out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a slate where, and I think this happens a lot on these two gamers, like in Champions League. Like, you might just play the center backs, because there is, I don't know if there's anybody that's worth paying up for here, you know, that's going to get you a lot of good outcomes consistently. And I think that the floors for the fullbacks are not far from a lot of the center backs. And it's like, I don't know, man, I'm tempted to play Rudiger in a decent amount of lineups at a mid price, because he has a decent floor. I mean, he mixes it up. He gets some shots. He gets a lot of tackles. The guy that I'd like to play is if Arsenal play the right back. The Japanese right back. If they play him over Kiwior at 2,900, I'd for sure play him. Other than that, I love your call on Gabriel. Yeah, I think that he's probably the most likely center back to score, but he's expensive. For a slate like this, he's a little expensive. But I agree with that. And if he's a little cheaper, I think I'd probably play him across all formats. 4K, a little tricky. But I think if you combo him with Arsenal set piece takers, I think that's a good play. With Declan Rice, with Saka, I think that's, For tournaments, I think that's definitely I think you'd see a lot of outcomes where Arsenal gets a lot of set pieces, and I think that they're very good on set pieces. I mean, I think their performance of set pieces is the best for sure in EPL.
What do you think, Ryan?
I mean, yeah, I don't have too much to add. I agree with what you guys said. Like, Rudiger was the first guy in my lineups, just 2,500, and there's just not much else there, and it lets you afford more. I think about it more, and I wonder if there's some edge trying to beat the Rudiger lineups. I get, but just there's no defenders that are like good plays. You know, like, do you take a chance on, like, do any of them have a floor? Maybe Rico Lewis in certain formation, but like, I don't even know if he's gonna start. Like, so like, do you take a chance on a guy like that? I don't know. I found myself, 2,500 for Rudiger is just without much opportunity cost at the position. Seems like he would be in a lot of my lineups. I agree about the Arsenal center backs and everything you guys said. Could have a lot of set pieces here. They're great at set pieces. I would play the Arsenal center backs over Kiwior. I know he's sort of lucked into a few assists recently, but, you know, he's liable to get subbed, and I think he's also probably most likely for a yellow card. He's been nervous in some of these spots. You could see that again here, dealing with Sané and Musiala or whoever else. Yeah, I don't know. After that, I mean, who is it? I can't see Bayern starting Guerrero. I mean, what, David, like, how are you going to start Guerrero against Saka? I don't know. I see. Yeah, I don't know, Jack. I like Rudiger and sort of the Arsenal guys. There's no one else to play, really.
I'm trying to sort through the cheat sheets. Rotowire.com/soccer trial. If not already sub, you get a 2-day
trial. Oh, sorry. Rico Lewis is up to 4.4. I missed that. I was thinking about my boy Gvardiol at 3.8. I guess he might be fit after all. He's always my favorite of the city guys. I guess I wouldn't mind playing him, but yeah, maybe he won't start either. I don't know. Defender is, it's a weird slate for defender. There's not much there.
Yeah, I don't know. Ruben Diaz always appeals to me. I think he scored a lot of goals a few Premier League seasons ago, so I feel like he's got that in him. And I've also noticed he doesn't get a lot of yellow cards, and sometimes finding the guy who doesn't get a petulant yellow card in a slate like this, that might be important, especially in cash games. So he seems just like pretty cheap at 3,100. But if anyone tells you with any confidence what's going to happen at the defender position, I would consider them a liar. It's pretty brutal out in these streets. So good luck finding the random goal. We can switch to everyone's favorite position, goalkeeper. So Paul, you've been kind of become like a bit of a meme in the RotoWire Discord, because I've noticed, because I do my tweet where I profile, you know, what I consider the sharp players doing their lineups. It's like every single time it's like, Pugh's like Luton Town goalkeeper, count me in, Sheffield goalkeeper, count me in, just always paying down. And I think this makes a lot of sense in the, I wrote a goalkeeper article. This makes a lot of sense in the bigger slates. This is a smaller slate. Sometimes I'm more tempted to pay up for goalkeeper. But there's only $1,000 separating these guys. Stop me from clicking Manuel Neuer. I think if Arsenal want to try to score, he's the goalkeeper most likely to get saves. All the outcomes are roughly equivalent with who gets a win. I don't know. I'm just going to take the extra salary and hope I get lucky. But what are you going to do, Paul? Are you going to scroll all the way down as you do quite often? Or do you have any goalkeeper takes whatsoever?
So generally speaking, yeah, I like to just play the cheapest goalie, as you noticed. I read your article, it was good. I agreed with like a lot of the stuff that you had on there. I think on these two gamers, it's a little trickier. I think in this, there's certain teams that I just don't like to play goalies against. It doesn't, like, even though I like to scroll down, I tend to be a little cautious about certain teams. I don't think Arsenal is I'm gonna leak this out here. I don't think they're a good team to play goalies against. I don't think they take a lot of bad shots. And I think that they put up 4 to 5 to 6 goals quite often. And I think their outcomes are probably skewed. But I don't know, man. I mean, if you tell me I can get Neuer for 4,100, if it's Neuer, I mean, that's also, I don't know. You know, Bayern may give up a lot of chances, and Neuer's a very good goalie that comes up big quite often. I mean, obviously, I think Raya would be the first choice if I had here, because Arsenal just has the best defense, and I think that they're most likely to get a win. I like Lunin. I think that Real Madrid, again, are probably going to be comfortable sitting a little deeper. But again, I don't think City's going to be going crazy. I don't think if City gets a goal, I don't know if they're going to keep attacking like crazy, and you're going to get a lot of chance for saves. This is tricky. I normally feel pretty good about just like playing against the big underdog goalie and just pay down, but I don't know that there's a safe spot here to do that. But I think when in doubt, just do it. If you don't know, just I think you probably. I feel bad if I pay up and then I put up a 4. I know a lot of people don't like if they pay down and put up a -6. I don't feel bad if I put up a -6. I feel bad if I pay up and put up like a 2 or a 4. I feel worse about that.
That feels way worse.
Oh, right. That feels way worse.
And the -6 just doesn't happen that often. Like, I thought when I did the article, it would happen more, but it's like, you know, 10% of the time. I don't know. We talk about it as if it's an inevitability, but most of the time these guys are 4 points, and that's about how much a center back scores. And sometimes you can just get away with it. Ryan, you're on the, this year it feels like it's been the down bad society for paying up for goalkeeper. And I know you like to spend up on them in these shorter slates. Is that a priority for you with David Raya? I don't know. Do you have any
thoughts? Well, it hasn't really been working out, but yeah, no, I normally like to do that. I don't know, just on this slate, I definitely agree with what Paul said, that it's not the greatest to play goalkeepers against Arsenal. And also, just like being an Arsenal fan, they need to win here. They need to score goals here. Like, There's just no way I'm clicking Manuel Neuer or the Bayern keeper in like my, I don't know, I would guess my high stake stuff, or like, obviously any keeper is fine for GPPs and the larger field tournaments. But yeah, I don't know. I think the road keepers have the most upside. Like, you know, if Arsenal haven't scored, they're going to be getting desperate. And even same with Madrid. But yeah, I like Lunin. I could see that game being, you know, that game could end 0-0, and I don't think like Pep would have a problem with it. I think either keeper in that game's fine. Yeah, I would like to get to Raya if I could. You know, maybe this is a slate where Arsenal are the only team to get a win and a clean sheet, and you know, 14 points is going to give you a decent edge, or maybe he even scores more than that. I don't know. Yeah, Jack, it's keeper. You know, it's hard to talk about. I'm just not going to play Neuer really, because in my mind, Arsenal are scoring goals.
Maybe I'll just wish Cass to play Neuer.
You're a Spurs fan. I mean, this is the spot where, you know, Arsenal blow it. They come out, you know, nervous. Kane scores.
Look, I solved the slate. I'm going to pause you, Ryan. So this is what you're going to do. It's going to be Bayern. They're going to win 1-0. Neuer's going to have 10 saves. And it's going to be a Joshua Kimmich corner. And then up goes the tall Eric Dier, who flicks it on to Harry Kane in the far post, and then he tips it in. Eric Dier, the center back that you end up needing in this horrible center back position. And we have the callback to the Harry Kane tournament play of the slate. That is what I'll be playing for, folks.
We've seen it happen a couple times with Arsenal. They had a couple matches earlier in the season when they lost to West Ham and when they lost to Fulham. I know, like, West Ham keeper put up like 30 in that spot. I mean, you know, there was that time when people were saying like, oh, Arsenal can't really score besides corner kicks. That was happening for a little while. So yeah, I don't know. You can play a keeper against Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely could happen. I mean, Bayern is capable, right? Like they've. I think it's usually good to bet on teams that are pretty talented that have had a bad run. That is. You know, I think Bayern could show up and revert to form and play amazing. And Arsenal could miss a couple chances. And I mean, the fact that it's a Bayern slate and I think that Bayern's going to lose is probably that they're going to win. So it's just how it's gone for DFS career. So
yeah.
So it goes in the goalkeeper streets. Folks, we've been going an hour. Thank you so much if you've been listening. And thank you so much to Paul for coming on. You know, give us a lot of good alpha on how these teams play. I think that really helps on these two gamers. You know, we have a big 20K to first. We have one of these 1,000 luck box King the Pitch. I'll probably throw a couple lines in there because I like flushing my money down the drain. But on behalf of myself, Ryan and Paul, thank you all so much for joining us. Good luck. I hope you get second place. I'm kind of gunning for this first place. I could use the W, but second place isn't so bad as well. We will see you tomorrow.
Thanks to Paul. That was a great podcast. Good luck, everybody.
Thanks for having me, guys.